We'll roll out the March 28, 2008 edition of the Rain Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rain Report. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN. These reports typically update Fridays on therainreport.com. What isn't typical is our covering de-expeditions. Thanks to a Rain listener, however, we're making an exception this week. According to Hans von de Grunendahl, ZS6AKV, Petrus ZS6GCM will soon activate Ham Station ZS8T on Marion Island. So what's the big deal about Marion Island? We'll find out in a moment after I tell you that Hans von de Grunendahl is the producer of ARMI, that's Amateur Radio Mirror International, a weekly ham radio and more program that airs weekends on HF and VHF frequencies in South Africa. See the Rain's site's mentioned page for a link. Hans is also a counselor of the South African Radio League and president of SAMSAT. As we go to press on March 28th, press officer ZS6DXB reports Petrus ZS6GCM is on board the SA Ogelhus, South Africa's polar research vessel, now steaming to Marion Island. Weather permitting, Petrus may have arrived by the time many of you hear this program. So what's the big deal, you ask? Hans von den Grunendahl, ZS6AKV, spoke with Petrus about this highly anticipated de-expedition.
Marion Island is the sixth most wanted DX destination by radio amateurs. So no wonder there is a lot of interest in the forthcoming de-expedition by Petrus Kritzinger, ZS6GCM. Marion Island, the larger of the Prince Edward Island group, lies approximately 1,770 kilometers southeast of Port Elizabeth. The island group was formally annexed by South Africa in 1947 and since then has been permanently occupied by South Africans. The research station built on the eastern coast houses a weather office and a variety of research programs in the natural sciences are run. It is no wonder then that radio amateurs around the world are so keen to talk to someone on Marion Island because there is no resident staff, only South African research staff that is replaced every 14 months or so. The DX's worldwide are in luck this time because the leader of the expedition is Petrus Kritzinger, ZS6GCM, and he will be operating from the island as ZS8T. We had the opportunity of talking to Petrus Kritzinger before his departure to Marion Island, and the first question I asked him is, who is Petrus Kritzinger?
I did most of my school in Rustenburg, and after that I went to the South African Defence Force, and that's how I actually got involved in the medical business. I was an ops medic there for a few years, and after that I went and I did a four-year diploma in nursing, and on this stage I'm a professional ICU nurse. This actually gave me a lot of opportunities to go to places like Marion or Gough Island and Bouvet, and all strange and weird places, but awesome places.
With so many interests, one wonders how Petrus Kritzinger became involved in amateur radio, and why did he choose the call sign ZS6GCM?
Actually, I have a few friends that are radio amateurs, and when I went to Bouvet, I thought it would be a nice way of keeping in contact. It's inexpensive cost-wise, you know, for being on the air compared to like Iridium phones where you pay $1.5 per minute. So, but, you know, legally wise, then you have to have certain qualifications, as you all know. So then I had to go and do all my exams and build my little projects, and I think I finished that about 2 days before I went to Bouvet. And it actually, so far, opened quite a few other doors for me as well. So I'm very glad I did it. My first trip that I went to Gough Island, two scientists that went with us, and out of a few of us, me and the diesel mechanic and the radio technician, we became quite good friends, and we ended up doing a lot of things. So, and then the rest of the team started calling us Gough Cabinet members. So, and that sticks. So, it's actually just a reference to a good time that I had on Gough Island. So, I always think the reason I go to these off-the-track places is because you can experience the extreme things in life, like nothing in the subantarctic is normal. The winds are always extreme, the weather is extreme. And, you know, as Jacques Cousteau once said, we must go and see. And that's how I feel. I must always go and see what's lying behind the next horizon. And the experience on these places, it's life-changing. People always look strange at you when you tell them that, but you're in the middle of nowhere and you learn to know yourself and the other people that are with you in a team. I think that these people, at the end of the day, know you much better than your own family do. Because you get time to go and sit down and talk. Something that I think rarely happens these days with people in the cities and most of the world, because they go and sit and they watch some series or CP on TV or something. And even if you go and visit them, the talk are short because they want to look at the television or whatever. So I think going to these places break life down to more simple things. And for me personally, simple things are much more enjoyable in life, less complicated, less stress. And experiencing nature as it is, you become part of nature. You're not just a human that's a threat to wildlife. They don't see it that way because they've never experienced humans in a threatening way. So you're just part of nature, another being on the island. So the birds or the seals, they don't see you as a threat. You can come so close to them that if you want to, I suppose you could touch them, but that's, you know, not something that we do. But it's difficult to describe these places in words. Even photos, I don't think, can explain it why, but you know, it's fortunate if you can go to these places because you experience life in places that very few people are fortunate to have the experience. I think like Bouvet in the past, since 1954, there were only about 18 people that have been there doing research and whatever. So as you can see, it's a very rare opportunity. And being in the extreme places, you also learn to know a lot more about yourself than you usually under normal circumstances will do. You have to endure more cold, harsh conditions. And like, especially like on a place like Bouvet, it was every day, it was about survival, not just, you know, you get up and you go and do your work and you come back. As you have mentioned earlier, I'm the medic going down, so the mental and physical health and also the dental problems are all my responsibility, and also for this trip I'm the expedition leader. So, you know, so I'm responsible for almost everything that's on the island, including the base and the things that happens there. So, but otherwise, you know, it's not that you work yourself after death, but it's an enjoyable experience even with the added extra responsibilities and so on. And then also the medic is responsible for all the food. So the previous medic orders all the food for the next year, and then it's your responsibility how it's going to be handled and keep record of that, and then at the end of your year place orders for the next team coming. So as every team member has their own responsibilities, I think most of the people going down are specialists in their fields. So, you know, you can learn also a lot from other people if you want to. On my previous trip to Marion Island, I learned to spray paint and sways and all, you know, weld, all those kind of things. So if you want to, you can learn a lot from other people.
You're listening to a program about the highly anticipated Marion Island de-expedition coming to a band near you this spring. In a moment, we'll conclude Hans von der Grundendahl's ZS6 AKV's interview with Petrus, ZS6 GCM, one of those involved. This is the Rain Report.
Mounting a de-expedition on an island like Marion Island, the sixth most wanted in the world, cannot be an easy task, and one just wonders how Petrus feels about handling all the DX pileups.
As you also mentioned earlier, I was quite new in this thing, so I was actually thrown in at the deep end. It started off, as I said, you know, with just making contact with friends back at home, and somehow the word got out, so, and eventually Reinhard phoned me, and he said, listen, you don't know me, but I would really like to come and see you. So, and I said, well, my schedule is a bit hectic, but, you know, on one day I can fit you in for an hour, maybe 2 hours. So he flew down from Joburg and to come and see me, and that started off the whole process. So on the way, you know, things are very primitive. We arrived there, there's no infrastructure, so we had to build all our own places. So only after about a week that we were there, I was able to put up the rig. And, you know, in most of the manuals, there's not really much about troubleshooting. So I put the things up and try different things and nothing worked. So eventually when I started to go back to the basics and I started inspecting my equipment, I realized that the seals have ripped off all my radials. So then I had to reattach all the radials, and then anything started and it took off. And, yeah, well, one of the things that was quite difficult to handle was the pilots. But, so I think at least if I looked at all the reviews on the website or whatever, it looks if I didn't do too badly at the end of the day, yeah. I like learning new things, so new equipment is a new opportunity to learn things. It's part of the learning curve of life. So it's, again, I mean, on the deep end, so but I'm a fast and a quick learner. So it should be interesting to experience and use all this really nice equipment that was sponsored. And I can only on the air say thank you to all the people that sponsored all the equipment and the time and money. You know, people always look at the equipment, but they don't realize how much time and effort some people just put in getting things organized, and friends, you know, driving around, picking up things wherever because my schedule don't allow it. So, you know, and I think that's actually something that Reinhard might consider also putting on the website, is thanking all the people for their time.
As the world learned about the new de-expedition to Marion Island, the big question is, when will Petrus be operational?
Our plan is to leave on the 26th, and the voyage down can be anything from 4 days to 2 weeks, all weather dependent. Remember, Marion Island is lying in the roaring 40s, and then we also have about 4 to 6 weeks at, or what we call a takeover period, and that's when the maintenance get done in the base and all the train the new people and the jobs that they have to do. So considering that we're leaving on the 26th, so maybe end of April to the middle of May I should be up and running and be on the air if everything goes well. The trips are usually between 12 and 14 months, so we should be back about May next year.
During those long 14 months, Petrus has the advantage that amateur radio is also there to keep him company and to provide much needed recreation. But what about the DX files? Will he still have an opportunity to talk to his friends?
Yeah, I hope so. I've talked to a few, but there's a few that has to fix the antennas and all that things, you know, otherwise they wouldn't be able to talk to me. But, you know, it's not just the radio stuff. Being in places like this, like Marion Island, gives you a lot of opportunities. Most of us that has been to these trips previously spend a lot of time taking photos and stuff, because the opportunities are almost unaccountable. You can just carry on forever. I sometimes take up to 30,000 photos in the time that I spend in a place like this. So, and except for that, there's a lot of other things. It doesn't mean if we're isolated that there's not things to keep ourselves busy. Except for all the normal work we have to do, there's a lot of recreational things. You know, if you, especially like pool, for example, if you can't play pool, you usually come back after a very good pool player, if I can give you one example.
Hans von de Grundendal, ZX6AKV, interviewing Petrus, ZS6GCM, one of those involved in the highly anticipated Marion Island de-expedition, coming to a ham band near you this spring. Many thanks to Hans for submitting his interview for Rain's use. See the site's mentioned page on therainreport.com for links to Hans' program service and the Marion Island de-expedition. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2008 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder, producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN, bidding you a very 73 from Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network.